It's good to see you folks here this evening. Welcome. I'm Doug Pullen. It's Heart of Freedom Meditation. And looks like there's some other folks that are just in the waiting room that are coming in to join us. I'm so grateful that I've got electricity and heat and everything, not to be taken for granted this week in Portland, at least. I know several folks who were without power for a couple of days at least. So, yeah. So I'm happy that I can be here this evening. And yeah, it's good to see you folks. Just checking, I assume the sound is working. Is that coming through? Great, wonderful, yeah. So I'd like to start this evening with just honoring that it was Martin Luther King Day this week on Monday, a good reminder. And I understand that this year it actually coincided with his birthday. So that's interesting. And in the spirit of that, just to say that we at PIMC, Portland Insight Meditation Community, are really committed to do the best we can to make these practices and teachings relevant and accessible. And it's important that we really welcome all people of every age, ethnicity, cultural heritage, religious background, socioeconomic group, ability, sexual orientation, gender identity, of course we're going to do that imperfectly, and please feel free to give me feedback if I say or do anything that seems insensitive or out of touch. I'm still a work in progress and learning, so and so in this way we try to follow the footsteps of the Buddha, who offered teachings of awakening and freedom freely to everybody without exception. So yeah, in that spirit I invite us to practice this evening, the spirit of welcoming all beings to join us in practice, and also welcoming all aspects of this mind and this body into the light of awareness, into practice. And so we can start with just that, yeah, really just starting very much right here with the experience of this body, and to let go as best we can, or set aside preoccupations, cares, and concerns about the past and the future. And as much as possible, just coming to rest in this moment, this experience of a body that sits. And to begin with, to tune in to our comfort. Just allowing the body to be as comfortable in as comfortable a position as possible, an upright, alert position. And just allowing the weight of the body to settle down towards the earth, letting the earth really hold us. And taking a few maybe deeper breaths and letting go a little bit more with each breath, just relinquishing letting the earth really hold us. And yeah, there might be places where there's unconscious tension, tightness, constriction, and just bringing a little conscious awareness in, we can start to notice and let that soften. Let there be some ease. And it might be helpful to reflect just for just a moment on where it is that we can take true refuge, where we can find true refuge in all of the places in our lives where we look for relief. Where is it that we really truly can find that? And in this tradition, it's suggested that we start right here in this moment, to discover the Buddha that lives within, this quality of awareness, that where there is room for everything. Everything can be held in the light of the awareness that's present, taking refuge in the Buddha. And to consider, we can also find refuge and safety and freedom in the truth, the direct experience of the truth that comes from this capacity to be awake and taking refuge in Dhamma or Dharma. And then finally, to see if it's helpful to reflect on taking refuge in community, in the community of awakening that wakes up together, sometimes referred to as the Sangha, and our mutual support that we offer by coming together. So it's often referred to as taking refuge in love, taking refuge in our interbeing. So, yeah, with that, then, as our invitation to really just allow the breath to settle and to find its own natural rhythm, and just letting the breath breathe itself as we attend. And just perhaps noticing how this body moves in response to breathing, the chest expanding and then relaxing. To notice if there's any ideas about how things ought to be in meditation, and just let yourself come to rest with an awareness of how things actually are, just allowing this moment to be like this, this breath. and see if it's possible to notice how each breath is unique, how no two breaths are exactly the same. It might be possible to feel into the texture, the quality, and the duration of each breath. And if at any point you notice the body or the mind tensing up around your experience, in the noticing, just an invitation to gently let go again without judgment. And to do this over and over again if necessary with a kind, gentle awareness, softening. Just allowing this moment to be just as it is, this breath, these body sensations. It's totally natural for the mind to get preoccupied with thinking, judgment, commentary, going into analysis, all those patterns of thinking that are really common. And in meditation, there's this opportunity to to step out of that being lost in thought and actually be mindful here in the present moment, knowing that thinking is happening, instead of being pulled into and identified with thought. And that's a practice. It's helpful that a primary focal point, like the body sitting and breathing, as our touchstone, as our present moment reference point. But the goal of meditation isn't to get rid of thinking. It's to shift into, in this moment, thoughts are like this. And there's also a breath that's happening. There's a body that's sitting. There's feelings. There might be sounds. I'm going to offer some suggestions here, and if it's important for you in your practice to stay really internally focused and follow your own guidance, I just invite you to observe the sound of my voice is hearing and just stay with your own inner guidance, with whatever practice it is that's beneficial to you, staying with the breath or some body sensation or just noticing hearing. The suggestion is, if you experience something with a feeling tone, to notice if it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, just to keep it really simple, not trying to figure anything out, really just staying directly in the felt sense of this breath has a feeling quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness, or it's maybe just neutral. And there's an invitation to notice how the mind has a tendency to grasp at at pleasant sensations, to hold on to pleasant sensations in the body or the mind, has a tendency to resist or push away unpleasant sensations, and has a tendency to ignore or go into a state of boredom with neutral. And the grasping, resistance, or boredom often manifests as thoughts that are related to the sense experience, body sensations, or even images in the mind related to the sense experience. Trying to keep it centered on, in this moment, this is the feeling tone with this breath or this body sensation. Coming back. And with mindfulness, the seeing or experiencing is the doing. There isn't anything else that's required or necessary. There's no need to judge, go into commentary. It's just allowing. This moment feels like this. It's just part of the natural expression of life in this moment. and in the overarching spirit of kindness, free from judgment, still allowing whatever feelings are present to be present, really, or making room for it to be like this. Noticing the tendency, the mind, to either want to push away the unpleasant, cling to the pleasant, ignore the neutral. That can look like getting distracted or tensing up, shutting down. Yeah, so just working with kindly and gently staying here when things are like this. And for some, it might be really easy just to open into the expanse of present moment experience, present moment awareness. And yeah, just allowing that to go deeper and deeper. And for others, it might be really challenging. In any given moment, seeing if it's possible to just soften, if there's any tensing up, to return if there's any distracting, and really just allowing whatever the experience is to be just as it is. As we bring this meditation to a close, just notice if it seems helpful, what the overarching sort of state of consciousness is in this moment. Not trying to figure it out, but more just a felt sense of, is it more expanded or contracted? Is there more lightness or heaviness? Is it more pleasant or unpleasant or just neutral? Is there a quality of anger or sadness, or is it more joy, peace, feelings of compassion? Yeah, those are just a few examples. Yeah, just noticing without judging, clinging, resisting. And remembering there is a breath, there is a body that sits. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to practice with you folks this evening. It's great to see you. And if it seems helpful to take a moment to attend these bodies, if there's any little shifts or stretches or adjustments, an invitation to do so with mindful presence, an intention of kindness, taking good care of ourselves in this space this evening, making this a nurturing space. And I have just a few brief reminders or announcements here for your attention or interest, perhaps. I've posted in the chat just a reminder about the practice of Dana, which is how we operate at PIMC based on all of our generosity, really, the community supporting this practice. And so there's a little blurb there about that practice. So there's that, and then also I'm going to be offering a retreat coming up on February 3rd, and there's a link there to more information about it. It's called Deepening the Compassionate Response. There are some other wonderful offerings coming up here at PIMC in the near future that I want to just briefly mention. Coming up on Friday, January 19th, which is, that's tomorrow. Kendall Summers is doing the Women's Restoration and Rejuvenation reflection, and that's registration is open and available through the PIMC website. So please check that out. Wonderful opportunity for women to come together for support. Then next week on Wednesday, Robert Beattie is starting an Invitation to Joy, which is at 7 to 9 p.m. And it was postponed from this week due to the inclement weather. So it's actually starting on the 24th. And then our BIPOC mindfulness group is an in-person gathering on the last Sunday of the month. The next one will be on January 28th from 3 to 5:30 at PIMC. Yeah, and then I want to mention the DEI committee is presenting a movie night at PIMC on February 3rd. That's from 5:30 to 7:30. It's a movie called Wandering But Not Lost. And then finally, the DEI discussion group is going to happen starting February. The first and second Tuesdays in February and March. And that's the will to change. So, some good stuff coming up. So check those things out. This evening, I'd like to make space for sharing and discussion at the end, so I can offer Dharma talk on the practice of forgiveness. And so there'll be a chance for sharing and a blessing circle at the end. This was inspired, this reflection that I'd like to share with you this evening, by Martin Luther King Jr. The day that we celebrate his legacy and incredible transformation of our culture, although it's an ongoing effort, was this week. And so it's an opportunity for us in Dharma practice to reflect on the life of someone who could be referred to as a 20th century meta master. And there was a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King that was shared. James Baez, who's a teacher down at Spirit Rock and down in Berkeley, shared this quote, and I'd like to repeat it for you this evening. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. And so I invite us this evening to reflect on Dr. King's enduring legacy and for us to reflect on forgiveness and relinquishment of resentment. The Dharma talk, as is true for all Dharma talks, really, is just a reminder, really, for us to deepen into what we already know, deep in our bones, about what's true. And one of the invitations is to reflect on, is it true that maintaining resentment towards others or towards ourselves is an impediment that causes suffering? And in this practice particularly, an impediment to working with our minds on the deepest level and really finding freedom. And resentment can act as a barrier that keeps us from seeing things as they truly are, to have penetrating awareness. Sharon Salzberg, one of the pioneering insight meditation teachers, one of the founders of IMS, said, in order to be released from deeply held aversion for ourselves and for others, we must be able to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness has the power to ripen the forces of purity, such as love, and affirms the qualities of patience and compassion. It creates the space for renewal and a life free from bondage to the past. So as we reflect on this, to notice what comes up. Yeah, as I share these words, if there's anything that bubbles to the surface, to see if you can hold an intention of kindness, curiosity, try to soften and breathe. Here are some other words from Martin Luther King. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And it's very similar to the words in the Dhammapada by the Buddha, who said, and it's translated in different ways, hatred can never cease by hatred. Hatred only ceases through love. This is an eternal law. That was 2,600 years ago. This evening, the invitation is just to reflect on how is it that we can create the conditions for relinquishment, forgiveness, to not hold on to resentments from the past. So just a little bit of background. In this practice, there's this fundamental invitation to live in the present. And that's the core of the teaching, live in the present with kindness and compassion and wisdom. And this requires to cultivating our capacity to do that, really. There are two ways to observe the mind. One way is to examine the mind's contents, such as thoughts and images and emotions. And the other way is to observe how the mind works as a process, to observe it contextually. It's like the difference between watching a particular program on TV versus understanding how a TV set works to project all the programs that we watch. So looking at the contents of the mind can at times be helpful. It leads to psychological insights. We can see how our thoughts and emotions are reflections of what we've been exposed to, how trauma works and attachment works. And we can recognize our reactive patterns and work to change them and modify them. That's all really good. And I work a lot in my psychotherapy practice in that realm. But also working with the mind's content doesn't free us ultimately from the patterns and desires and obsessions that we notice. Psychological insights and change are similar from a spiritual perspective to beautifying a prison cell. No matter what we do to change the environment, we're still in prison. So similarly, we can change the content of our minds, but we're still imprisoned by the thought constructs of being a separate self that we're identified with. When we observe the process of the mind, looking at the mind contextually, we can start to be free from the identification with thinking and the conceptual overlays that imprison us, really. But there's often, for many of us, difficulties in objectively observing the process of the mind because of unresolved issues from the past. My teacher, Matt Flickstein, said it's similar to the sport of bungee jumping, where after the bungee cord reaches its furthest extent, it snaps the person back to or close to the starting point. So when we attempt to observe the mind contextually and we've not worked through unresolved issues, we get snapped back. The issues from the past, you know, need to be worked through. And what are the three main issues? Resentment, unresolved grief, and negative self-image or low self-esteem. Those are the three. So those become impediments to spiritual growth. This evening, mostly, I'm going to be focusing on resentment and the practice of forgiveness. How that's helpful. And part of that is that maintaining resentment towards others or towards ourselves is often the greatest impediment to working with our minds. And here, just to define what I'm talking about, resentment is different than anger. Anger arises in the moment when we feel insulted or frustrated, when we don't get what we want. Resentment is anger held in the mind over time. And it might be resentment towards our parents or our children or our current partner or an ex or a boss at work. And a significant challenge or difficulty in letting go of resentment is that we may feel our resentment is justified. We may have been hurt or abused or betrayed or abandoned by the person who we may have placed our trust in. So, we may have been made to feel small or worthless. And those things are, you know, those may be true. But the understanding with this practice is no matter how much pain we experienced, either through our own actions or inactions or the actions of others, holding on to resentment doesn't change what occurred and actually destroys our chance for full happiness and freedom now in the present. So it's actually out of self-compassion that we let go of resentment. It's not to let the person who did harm to us in the past off the hook, or to let ourselves off the hook and say it was really okay to do something that was unskillful or unhelpful. It's really letting go of the ill will or the resentment doesn't mean that we can't learn from the experience and keep ourselves out of harm's way or not repeat something that's skillful. We can actually, unskillful, we can learn from those experiences. So it doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak out or take action to stop things that are abusive or hurtful. It just means that holding on to the resentment itself is seen as harmful. So that's it. And it's been said that holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die if it's towards someone else. This is really a challenging practice, so it's important to come at it with a foundational base level of kindness and caring. And there aren't any shoulds, have-tos, ought-tos. There's no time frame. There's more just cultivating the conditions and then allowing those conditions and the seeds we plant to take root and give fruition. So forgiveness is really the fruit of the tree when it ripens and drops. It's organic. We can't force it. It's creating the conditions. And so what are those conditions, really? a lot of it is what we're cultivating here in this practice, the combination of mindfulness and compassion and wisdom, clear seeing, and then applying those to the conditioned states of mind where there's holding on to the past, holding on to resentment. The Buddha said holding on to hatred or resentment is like holding on to a burning coal. The one who's holding on to it is scorched by it. For us to really understand that on an experiential level. So we can get it intellectually, but the letting go or the letting be happens from that felt sense, really, that, oh, the holding on to this resentment hurts. It's harmful. It's not, yeah, it's at that, it's a kind of a visceral understanding. And then there's, from there, the letting go then happened, or happens. So, this is a little letter from Michael B. Ross, who is a death row inmate in Somers, Connecticut. He said, forgiveness is a form of realism. It doesn't deny, minimize, or justify what others have done to us or the pain we have suffered. It encourages us to look squarely at those old wounds and see them for what they are, and allows us to see how much energy we've wasted and how much we've damaged ourselves for not forgiving. Forgiveness is an internal process. It can't be forced, and it doesn't come easy. It brings with it great feelings of wellness and freedom. But we experience this only when we want to heal and when we're willing to work for it. Forgiveness is a sign of positive self-esteem. We no longer identify ourselves by our past injuries and injustices. We are no longer victims. We claim the right to stop hurting when we say, I'm tired of the pain and I want to be healed. At that moment, forgiveness becomes a possibility, although it may take time and much hard work before we finally achieve it. Yeah, that's Michael B. Ross. So, forgiveness from the perspective of inner being, when I understand that the seeds of love and hatred both exist in my consciousness, then it's, I choose to water the seeds of love and not water the seeds of hatred in this moment. There's choice. With mindfulness, there starts to be a choice. During the guided meditation, I was inviting us to notice just at the really basic level, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. That's a really useful practice to be able to then observe that conditioning. The tendency is there at that basic level. That's a building block for that practice. There's often, you know, pretty strong, intense emotional states that can be there. We're talking about resentment that might have built up for a long time. So before we can really be fully present, mindful with heavy emotional states, it's important to just let them be without clinging or condemning. To really, just feel what's there. The tendency is to kind of be reactive and go into self-judgment or resistance or numbing out or whatever. So part of the practice of getting to forgiveness is really just allowing our feelings to be there. So a lot of times the tendency is to do spiritual bypass and say, yeah, okay, I'm going to forgive. I'll just not feel anything. And that doesn't work because the feelings are still there. They've gone subterranean. They're under the surface, and they can fester and cause problems down the road. So we actually have to feel those feelings. And it's messy and it's unpleasant, but that's the path through. And so what we're doing is trying to create the conditions for us to be able to do that. That's the cultivation that I was talking about earlier. And to soften around those feelings. It's really, forgiveness is really an aspect of compassion. I was teaching the earlier class this evening about compassion cultivation, and forgiveness is really an act of compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is when love meets suffering. This capacity for love or kindness meets suffering and understands our shared humanity. So when we bring love and mindfulness to resentment, then forgiveness becomes possible. Yeah, so there's that. And there's a softening. Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh told a really powerful story of practicing forgiveness. This is back during the Vietnam War, decades ago, and he returned to a village where he had loved ones that had been napalmed, and walking through the devastation and the wreckage, seeing dead bodies, people that he knew, and he described it as just allowing the rage to rise up and present with it, holding it like an infant in his arms, really letting it be felt with a tenderness, with a kindness, and having the depth of practice, the groundedness, the ability to breathe. I mean, that's an incredible thing. It's hard, really, for a lot of us to let ourselves feel the rage. Many of us grew up in families where rage or anger was judged as bad or wrong or even sinful. And yet, when our needs aren't being met, because those who cared for us couldn't really understand or hear or have empathy, of course, anger is natural. You know, but it's also terrifying as a child. Can't really be angry at the person you were dependent on for, you know, welfare and protection and safety. So it's really a dilemma. And that's just one example. But so for most of us, if we haven't done the kind of work psychologically, emotionally, where we can actually allow ourselves to feel all of those feelings, it's not just rage, of course. There's terror and sadness and grief, and then it's hard to get to the forgiveness part. So that's it's a natural unfolding. It's not, like I said, a forced thing. It's creating the conditions for it to happen. So I'd like to guide us through that. I think that, yeah, there's time to do a little bit of this, and to go at your own pace, maybe just planting the seeds. If you're new to working mindfully with difficult emotions, just taking it slow, not diving into the deep end of the pool first. Just working with it at your own pace. If you find yourself tensing up or starting to shut down or whatever, then slow down. Maybe circle back, take a breath, do some metta cultivation. So, yeah, it's gentle. Just in case, I don't want to forget to bring in a understanding that is bigger than the small self here. There is, and some of you may be at this stage in your practice where if there's a sense of any residue of clinging to the past, it just vanishes, it just disappears when it's seen. There's that level too of practice. And to just speak to that for a moment before we go into the guided meditation, here's a poem from Rumi, 13th century poet. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. So that's here too. There is the realization that there aren't any others. And there's no separate self to judge negatively. But to get to that realization, a lot of us need to work through holding on to stuff from the past. So here's guided meditation in steps. And now, for some of you, this may not be the right practice for this evening. So just checking in to see, based on what I've shared so far, would you like to give it a try? Try it a little bit, see how it goes. If not, that's totally fine. Trust your inner guidance. And you can, of course, stay. And just notice the sound of my voice is hearing. And just do either metta cultivation, pick a metta phrase, or stay with the breath as your primary focal point. And just stick around, and you can benefit from the support of the group in that way. So here we go. Just starting or returning to the breath, connecting with breathing in and breathing out. And that intention of kindness. Nothing here but that intention and the intention to be present. Noticing the breath coming and going as our present moment reference point. And then to check in and to see if there's any thing that you might be holding on to that is a judgment or a resentment that you feel towards yourself. Starting with things that might be, manageable in a relatively short meditation, not the most difficult, challenging things, but something that's manageable for this evening. And just notice what it feels like to turn towards that. Is there anything that you're holding on to? And to reflect on that and notice how it feels. Is there any feeling, sensation in the body, change in breathing? And to offer this? Can I accept myself as a human being who makes mistakes and can learn from them? And can learn and grow. And to see, yeah, if there's a willingness to see that you've learned and grown and ready to open your heart to yourself to allow some forgiveness. And, yeah, if there's resistance or reluctance, being gentle with that. You can try using these words and see how they land. I forgive myself for whatever I did, intentional or unintentional. I forgive myself for whatever I did, intentional or unintentional. May I be happy and free of confusion. May I learn and grow from this experience. Yeah, so these are seeds of forgiveness that we can try planting here. Notice how it lands, how it feels. No forcing. Yeah, just invitation. And understanding this is letting go of the resentment and the self-judgment, the self-criticism. So actually opening the door so you can learn more and grow. It's a lot of times those thoughts and those feelings get in the way, really, of deeper insight, and deeper understanding. Yeah. So we're going to stay with this for just another minute. Just stay with this intention. May I forgive myself for whatever I did, intentional or unintentional. You might imagine yourself sitting across from you. Yeah, just allowing that to be received, if it can be. And then I'm going to invite us to take a next step in this, and you can go at your own pace. If you feel like you prefer to stay at the first iteration, you're welcome. The next step is to imagine in front of you a person that you might be ready to forgive, who's done something that was harmful to you. Remember, there's no shoulds, have tos, ought tos. This is really just to check in to see, are you ready? Is your art ready to soften if there's someone who's done something that was harmful? Not forgetting. It's not about forgiving and forgetting. It's about forgiving and remembering, learning. And reflecting on what this unskillful thing is. Noticing how it feels. And is there a readiness to let this go? And we could try using these phrases. May my heart forgive you for whatever you did, intentional or unintentional. Notice how that feels. See if your heart is ready to soften. Yeah, just working with the invitation, just allowing. I forgive you for whatever you did, intentional or not. Yeah. And now there's another step here. Once again, you're free to go at your own pace. If you need to stay at an earlier step, you're welcome to. And with this one, it's about allowing yourself to be forgiven if there's something that you did that another person might need to forgive you for. Allowing yourself to be forgiven. May I allow myself to be forgiven for whatever I did, intentional or unintentional. Checking in with your heart, your body. Is there a way that you can allow that? Notice if there's any resistance. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. And we also have this capacity to learn, grow, and heal. And I'd like to share with you another version of this for you to reflect on before we transition. So transitioning to hear this, these are words from Eric Kulvig, who's an insight meditation teacher. And this is a poem called Forgiveness Prayers. Extending forgiveness to yourself. I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make mistakes. I allow myself to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive myself, and if I cannot forgive myself now, may I forgive myself sometime in the future. Asking forgiveness from others for the harm that we have done to them. Please allow me to be imperfect. Please allow me to make mistakes. Please allow me to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. Please forgive me. If you cannot forgive me now, please, may you forgive me sometime in the future. And extending forgiveness for those who have harmed you. Just as I allow myself to be imperfect, so I allow you to be imperfect. I allow you also to make mistakes. I allow you to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive you. And if I cannot forgive you now, may I forgive you sometime in the future. Just invite us to reflect on if there's something that you'd like to share, either in the form of a blessing or just a sharing of what's most alive for you, what's in your heart. or if you have a question that you'd like to ask, and I'll see if I can respond to that. And in the sharing, please, if you'd like to say your name, and just keeping it really centered in your own experience with what's most alive for you. And then when you're finished, just to say, I'm finished, I've spoken, so the next person could know that it's their turn to share. So open things up, totally optional, don't have to say a word if you don't want to.
I'm Esme. I appreciated the talk on forgiveness tonight, and what's moving for me is that I'm at a point in my practice where it's easy for me to have forgiveness and compassion for those who harmed me in the past, and even those who are threatening me in the present. But even having compassion for those who are threatening me in the present, it's harder to let go of fear. Even being able to feel love for the people I'm afraid of. And that's my struggle right now. I've spoken.
Thanks, Esmond. Appreciate that. Yeah.
My name is Mel, and I just wanted to share that today I put together the obituary for my dad, who passed away actually 10 years ago, but my family had never published an obituary, and my mom was able to tell me that she was really sad that we had never done that, and I was kind of carrying that grief for 10 years, so it feels like some sweet closure to be able to put that out in the Oregon. So I just wanted to share that something sweet on my heart tonight. Mm-hmm. I had spoken.
Thanks, Mel. Yeah. So just checking, to see if anybody's just on the edge of sharing or a question.
My pronouns are they, them. I'm just curious as a question about the quote from the person who was on death row.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that someone on death row is speaking about forgiveness. I wonder if you can provide any more context for that quote by any chance. Thank you, I've spoken.
Thanks, sorry. Yeah. I'm just looking back to see if there's any other information there about it. Yeah. I don't think I have any other info. I may not have shared the last sentence. We can see the last sentence I quote is, "For me, learning how to forgive wasn't easy, but I did learn, and my life is better for it, even here on death row."
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. So there are stories of people having deep awakening experiences in prison. There are teachers who offer a meditation dharma practice in prison settings. Could be a pretty powerful motivation for practice there. Yeah, I don't know what he did, but I assume, I mean, if it was death row, it was pretty serious, so, yeah. Well, I suggest that we do our closing meditation, just to, seems like it might be helpful here, since we've been focusing on things that are challenging and difficult, where there's a holding on, to really let our focus shift a little bit to things that we might feel grateful for, just to let there be that kind of balance in your mind. So just to reflect on that, gratitude and appreciation for, it could be small things, simple things, things that we've done or gestures of kindness that we received recently. And just notice, if you pick one thing, just allow it to come to mind, notice how it feels. Is kindness and generosity in the world also, and right here in this heart, in this mind. And noticing how it feels to just to reflect on that. It's often suggested as a precursor to meta practice, to focus on some kind deed or generous action. Notice how that changes the state of mind. And to from that, to wish ourselves well. May whatever intention or wish of well-being seems most appropriate or helpful Just letting that come to mind. May I be free from fear. May I be free from anger. May I abide in well-being. What is it that you'd like to cultivate for yourself this evening as we close? It's planting seeds of loving intention right here, in this moment, mindful intention. And to offer support and wishes of well-being for our community, for those of us gathered here this evening. Yeah. Extending our wishes of well-being. Maybe there's some particular things that come to mind, or maybe more general. Extending it out into our community, our Sangha. And, yeah, notice how that feels. And then perhaps comes to mind others who aren't here with us this evening, loved ones, family, friends. Yeah, may these dear ones be free from fear. May they abide in well-being. May they experience peace and freedom. Yeah. And expanding out, letting our wishes go out into the world to all beings, to whatever beings call to our hearts. Yeah. May all beings be free from all forms of anguish, difficulty. May all beings be free from resentment, be free from bondage to the past. And letting our wishes go out, and if you'd like, you can join me and we can do a chant here at the end, and as a way of kind of a culmination of our practice for this evening, to share that wish of well-being, forgiveness, and peace. So the chant is, may all beings be happy. And we'll do that three times, and then sadhu, which means so be it, three times. And you're welcome to unmute and join me. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. That was beautiful. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, your energy.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for being here.
Good night.
Yeah, take care. Have a good week.
Bye.
Hope to see you again soon.
Everyone have electricity.
Yeah, I just noticed the lights were flickering here, so we'll see.
The lights are flickering,
yeah.
Yes.
Bye,
too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, take care.
Bye. Be well.
Bye. Thanks.